Well, hello, quantum engineers, and welcome to our first live coaching call of Quantum Becoming Quantum. I hope wherever you are in the world that you're having a great day. Welcome to Saturday here in the United States. I hope you had an opportunity to dive into the first module of Becoming Quantum. It's a pretty intense module. There's lots of stuff to consider there. What I'm trying to do with this concept of Becoming Quantum is because it is quite an elaborate, sophisticated, detailed process, I'm trying to keep it as sort of streamlined and simplified as possible. And oftentimes it tends to be, if we work with it, with the number three, if we work in threes, if we're able to bump things together and gather things together in threes, it tends to be easier for us to conceptualize and process concepts that are really sophisticated. So that's why the imagery that I provided for you in the first module of that diagram of self, soul, and source energy, or self, soul, and sun, as it's indicated in that diagram, becomes really, really helpful in helping us understand what we are mapping, what we are navigating as we're playing in the quantum. And the part of that diagram that's really helpful as it relates to what we're shaping here is that if you remember the slide in the module where we had the diagram of self, soul, and sun, and there was a line where it was indicated the quantum boundary, where there's a separation between the self part of that diagram, the circle with the, you know, that's half black and half white, and the rest of the diagram, that becomes the quantum boundary that we, as quantum engineers, are looking to cross over, cross through. So I want you to be able to keep in mind, not only with your quantum work, but with any of your metaphysics, any of your mystical practice, to keep that image of self, soul, and source in mind. And to be able to check in with yourself moment to moment, thought by thought, energy by energy. Who am I? What level of energy am I coming from? What level of identity am I coming from at this moment? Am I coming from self that is rooted in fear, conditioning, judgment, wounding, patterns of time and space, is trapped in the past, trapped in the future, is taking things personally, is convinced that there's something outside of itself that is causing the problems. Remember, in the module, we talked about sort of the personality traits of self and the personality traits of soul and the personality traits of source, that it's really important to be able to consistently tap into quantum, to get really, really proficient at identifying those traits in yourself. And it's going to get really easy. If you're not conscious of them, you're completely unaware of it. And so you're coming from self all the time. You're coming from your old wounds. You're coming from your old conditioning. You're coming from your old patterns from this lifetime or any other lifetime. It doesn't really matter. You're coming from conditioning of time and space. If you're not aware of them, if nobody's ever said, hey, kid, did you know that these three parts of yourself actually exist? And most of the time you're coming from this part at the bottom of that equation below the quantum boundary. And so if you're trying to manifest stuff, it's not working. This is why. Right? This is why. And nowhere in the law of attraction, nowhere in any sort of new age stuff that I've ever seen do they talk about this. And that's why it doesn't work. Or it will work to a certain limit and that's it. You'll get so far. You'll have a tiny little bit of adjustment and then nothing. So this rule of threes, self, soul, source, is a really easy yet super powerful tool to help you navigate. So if you're feeling discombobulated, if you're recognizing patterns that, oh my God, I'm doing this again. I'm I'm going through the same patterns with my money again. Oh my God, I'm going through the same patterns with people in my life again, either my family or people that I work with. Like, oh my God, I've met these people over and over and over again. They're just in different skin suits. I'm doing this again. Oh my gosh. This means I'm running a program. I'm running a condition. Oh, or if you notice yourself feeling the same emotions over and over again, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, frustration, powerlessness. If you notice those things happening over and over again, you go, oh, shit, I've done this before. Huh? It has nothing to do with the person or circumstance outside of me. It's something I'm running through my conditioning. It's something I'm running through self. Holy crap. In that moment, when you recognize that, that is 75% of the problem solved. Right? So when you're recognizing circumstances in the outer world repeating themselves, you know, money problems repeating themselves, bumping into people who want to take advantage of you over and over again, running into people who sweet talk you the same way, but then betraying you. You decide to take a new healthy approach to living, and you lose 20 pounds and then you gain back 30. You go, oh shit, this is a pattern. It's not the external world. It's not the universe trying to tell me not to do something. I'm running a pattern here. There's something in my conditioned self that is trying to catch my attention so that it can be healed. And I've been ignoring it. Holy crackers. There's no external psychic attack. There's nothing on the outside that has any power. It's all us. It's all us. So this realization is actually what sets us free. It can become, at first, it can be scary to accept that kind of responsibility. But when you realize, all of this power, all of this control is within my hands. It's not in somebody else's hands. I don't need the world to change. I don't need anybody or anything outside of me to become something different. I get to do it. And that puts all of the power back in our hands. And that is what makes it so, so important for us to be able to do this quantum work. So what I invite you to do is to be able to sort of do a quantum review of your life. Look at where you are right now and ask yourself, what patterns in my life are constantly repeating themselves with health, well-being, contribution, money, people, circumstances in the external world, and what patterns are constantly repeating within myself? Fear, terror, shame, anger, rage. And obviously we're looking at the things that cause us discomfort. If you've got an abundance of money flowing and really great people showing up and you're feeling really good in your skin and you're having lots and lots of opportunities, then don't change anything. That's great. That's fabulous. Keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. But if you're noticing that there are things that show up that seem to thwart you, or things that frustrate you, or things that are keeping you feeling stuck or limited or in positions of powerlessness, then that's when you go, okay, I've got some inner excavating to do. I've got to go do and rip out some weeds of my conditioning of self. And that's going to give me, if I do that, that's going to give me greater access to the quantum creative mind. We can't just leap from where we are right now into the quantum because there's too much clutter. So this is why we do our quantum work. And so as we become more quantum, that that position of becoming quantum relies on us, in order for us to be able to do that in a really powerful way, it relies on us and our capability to become less matter, less conditioning, less self. If we go back to our diagram of self, soul, source, less self and more soul, more spirit, more energy, more information and less matter, to become less conditioned, to become less about time and space and more about limitless potential. So becoming quantum requires us to soften and ultimately dissolve self, release self, so that we can elegantly emerge into soul, so that we can rise into soul. Like when you remove a cork out of a champagne bottle and the champagne bubbles just automatically start to rise, and you pour that champagne into a glass and the bubbles, they seem to rise out of nowhere. Well, what those bubbles are doing is it's gas that has been compressed into the liquid of the champagne. And when the pressure is released, the gas expands in the liquid and it rises, right? It becomes a natural process that when the cork is released, what is contained in the liquid of the champagne is given room to rise. And so that's what we are doing as we release, soften our conditioning, and we release self, then who we are authentically, soul, connected to source, engaged in the quantum field, is invited and allowed to naturally do what it is designed to do. Okay. So once we get these limits of self out of the way, then we naturally become quantum. It naturally happens. We don't have to force it. We don't have to think about it. It becomes our natural tendency, that so we can have our eyes open, we can be functioning in the natural world, be completely coherent, completely aware, completely sober, completely cognizant, and still be engaged with the quantum. Right? The great mystics, Jesus, Buddha, and others, their mystical power, their quantum power was not expressed while they were sitting on their meditation pillow. It was expressed while they were walking around in the 3D world, creating miracles. They would engage with the quantum. They would speak a word or have a thought, and boom, shit would appear. Right? That's what we are aiming for. Okay. So over time, this process becomes very elegant, very elegant. It becomes our natural state of being. Okay. So ultimately, we release self so that we can emerge into soul like that champagne bubble. Right, which puts us continuously, or as often as possible. You know, sometimes shit happens and we forget and we fall back into self, and that's fine. That's the process of mastery, you guys. The process of mastery is slipping out of meditation and being able to put yourself back in. Slipping out of soul and dropping into self, catching yourself, and then going, aha, I realize I'm coming from my limited nature. I'm going to move back up into my soul nature, and putting yourself back. That's mastery. We master something by failing and correcting. And then the mastery reveals itself when we notice that we're failing less, we're slipping out of consciousness less, we're staying deeply aware more. And when we do slip out, we're able to catch it quickly and put ourselves back into consciousness, put ourselves back into awareness. That's mastery. So at the beginning, we want to be able to slip out, put ourselves back, slip out, put ourselves back, fall into self, get all tangled up in self, and then go, oh man, I'm in self. How do I know? Because this feels like shit. Oh, okay, cool. I'm recognizing it. Now what do I need to do? Maybe I need to go and do my meditation for 15 minutes and get myself ordered, get myself organized. Maybe I just need to say, hey, snap out of it. Remember your practice. This is not who you really are, this tangle of emotion and fear and blaming outer circumstances. This is not who you are. Snap out of it. It doesn't matter how you get yourself back in order. You just need to get yourself back in order. That's mastery, right? And sometimes when you slip out, you might need to have a hissy fit for a moment. You might need to go punch a pillow for a minute or two, get that energy expressed, and then get yourself back in order. Whatever you need to do to get yourself back in order, that's what you do. So when we're training to become quantum, I give you permission to use whatever tools you have at your disposal. One of them is the meditation. And if you go into the classroom now, I've uploaded the quantum gratitude, quantum forgiveness, guided meditation. It's up there in the classroom now, and I'm gonna walk you through some of the details of how to play with that. So that's a tool for you to start to practice with. Okay, so the mastery of this process is not to do it once and expect that you're going to stay there for the rest of your life, because you're not. That's not developing mastery. The mastery, the proficiency, the power comes from practicing and failing, remembering, catching yourself, putting yourself back, hanging out there, failing, falling out, and then putting yourself back. So let yourself off the hook if you go, well, you know, I was able to do the thank you part of the module last week, and, you know, it only lasted for about 20 minutes before I fell back into my old patterns. That's fine. That's okay. That's part of the process. That's why mastery is so challenging. That's why enlightenment is, and playing with the quantum is so tempting, but it's difficult. So cut yourself some slack and just continue to play. So as I was saying, when we're dissolving self, we're moving elegantly into contact with a quantum field. And that quantum field is the unseen, unknown, unmanifested creative matrix that supports all things. It's essentially what holds all creative things that we see, sense, and experience in the 3D. It's what holds it all together. Okay. It's the quantum field is kind of like a big soup bowl of energy and information. What people in the spiritual world like to call light. You know, say I'm a light worker. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you're a person who can manipulate energy and information. That's what a light worker is. They're not actually playing with light. Light is a photon, is a bundle of energy and information. That bundle of energy and information shapes light, creates light. And then we as light workers, light walkers, metaphysicians, quantum engineers, we play with that energy of light and of energy and information, and we shape it through our consciousness so that we can project it into the reality. So what we as quantum engineers are able to do is we're able to engage with that light, that pocket of energy and information, and we're able to collapse it. We're able to solidify it. We're able to materialize it through our consciousness. Right? We're able, again, I want you to notice, through our consciousness. It's not something we attract. It's not something that comes to us. It's something that is expressed through us. Hear that? Tattoo it on you somewhere. Put it on a sticky on your mirror. And say, my life does not come to me, it comes through me. So as quantum engineers, we are not working with the law of attraction. No, because that law of attraction isn't accurate. We are projectors of reality. We are not attractors of reality. And so in order for that power to become really clear and efficient, we have to be clear. We have to be unconditioned. Ourself, the conditioned nature of ourself has to be as unconditioned as possible. That lens of perception has to be removed, has to be cleared of as much schmutz as possible, as much error as possible, in order for us to be able to really kick into this quantum power. Okay. And so the more unconditioned our consciousness is, the more we're able to materialize quantum attributes in our 3D reality. So what are quantum attributes? Quantum, what we would say, the personality traits, if you will, of the quantum field. The personality traits are abundance, prosperity, well-being, health, creative expression, spiritual power, order, harmony, balance, growth, innovation, change, evolution, expansion, life force. Those are the personality traits of the quantum. And those personality traits are all side effects of the unconditioned life force. And so our goal is to become as clear a channel as possible for that transmission of energy to move through us. And the only way we can do that is to clear out the conditions of self. And so in the quantum thanks and forgiveness meditation that's in the classroom there. You'll see it. I invite you to play with it. It's 15 minutes long, actually right on the button, and that wasn't, I didn't strategize that. That's just how it sort of shaped out. So with that quantum meditation, the thanks part of it is self-explanatory. It's very straightforward. The beginning of the meditation, it sets up a frequency in heart, mind, and body that is uber, uber, uber coherent. And as I said before in the teaching module, the thank you that you are generating, you're not thanking anyone, meaning you're not thanking God, you're not thanking divine source, you're not thanking anyone or anything for anything. And the reason that we do that is because the quantum field, the quantum mind, has no identity. It has no shape. It is not, if we're wanting to connect with something that is beyond time and beyond space and beyond and is strictly material energy, then we have to be sure that our energy is also beyond time, beyond space, beyond identity. So we're not thanking God or the divine creative force. We're not thanking a thing, and we're not thanking a thing for a thing. We're not thanking anyone for anything. All we're doing is generating the code, the feeling, the frequency, if you will, of thank you. And the reason that that's what we do is because we're not wanting to limit it to anything, anytime, any space. It's just an energy. And because the quantum field is its nature is to express out, the quantum field doesn't require us to provide it with anything because it's infinite. So if something is infinite, it doesn't require anything. It doesn't need us to give it anything. What we're doing when we are expressing thanks, what we're doing is putting ourselves into alignment. We're moving ourselves into phase with that field whose nature is infinite expression out. So if you want to put it in this simple terms, the quantum nature is eternal and infinite giving. Okay, that's its code. Because it's infinite, it doesn't require anything to be given to it. Because it's infinite, its nature is to continuously express out. So its nature is giving. And when we are in thank you, that puts us in the nature of receiving. And so there's a connection. There's a positive charge and a negative charge. And those two charges are linking together and a current is established. A phone connection, if you will, is established. All right. So when it is said in mystical practice, when we're talking about engaging with the quantum, it is said it is right to give him thanks and praise. This is code for saying, if you want to engage with the quantum whose nature is to give, then our nature has to be to be in the position of thanks. It is right. It is correct to give thanks, to engage with this field that is constantly giving. But again, I want you to recognize that this is principle. It's not personal. It's principle. So if the quantum field is a certain kind of energy and you want to be able to meet it, you've got to be able to show up in a way that it recognizes. So if its expression is to be constantly giving, your expression can be is in quantum thanks. When quantum thanks and quantum giving hook up, there's a connection that's made. There's an engagement that's made. Okay. So that's what you're doing at the beginning of that meditation. You're engaging with the quantum field. We're always connected to it. We can't not be. We're swimming in it. It's everywhere. We're always connected, but we're rarely engaged. We're too addicted to matter. And so when we do the meditation and we're playing with this thank you code, we are engaging. We're plugging in. We're going click, click, click. We're moving into phase with the quantum. Okay, so that's what you're doing in the thank you part of the meditation. And as you're in it, I just want you to notice what you notice while you're in that in the meditation too, I invite you to let go of time and space, to move out of your, to move deeply into your body. In fact, in the quantum meditation, I move you into your body so that ultimately you can leave, so that you can release it. Now, I want to be very cautious. I want to be very aware of what I just said there. I don't want you leaving consciousness. I want you to be very, very present. There is no spiritual superpower in being able to leave your body and have no control in the physical 3D world. We want to be, we're moving into the quantum through our body as a portal into our heart, through as a portal into the quantum, as opposed to, there are other times when we'll play with metaphysics where we'll actually move out of our body. We'll disassociate from our body by moving out into space. In this meditation, we are moving into the quantum by moving deeply into our body and losing the physical nature of our body that way. Okay. So that's the thanks part of the meditation. The second part of the meditation is the forgiveness part, the part where we intentionally, deliberately start to release the conditions of self that keep us rooted in time, in space, in matter, and in repeating patterns of conditioning. So if you remember in module one, self is the part of us that they would call, in, you know, some spiritual practices, they'd call it ego, that is shaped by the 3D world, and everything that happens to us in the 3D world, that shapes self. And it's the part of us that believes in the power of the 3D world. It believes in the power of people doing stuff to us in the 3D world, and that being a wound that we carry. It believes in the power of the 3D world, government having the ability to shape our well-being, or it believes in the power of the 3D world that, stock market. The stock market has any sort of influence over our bank account, or what people say has the influence, has the power to influence our well-being, or what people might be thinking about us, or social media has the power to shape us in any way. Self is rooted in that addiction to the 3D world. And it's as mystics, as quantum engineers, we understand that the power of the 3D world, there isn't any. There's no power in the 3D world. We understand this because the 3D world, this is what every mystic knows, what every metaphysician knows, what every quantum engineer knows, is that the 3D world is an effect. It's a projection. And so it has no causative power to influence that which is real and that which is true. Right? And as souls, that, and we understand what is real and what is true is our soul. Because our soul is beyond time, it's beyond space. Remember, our soul exists above that quantum boundary. The self exists below that line in our diagram in module one. Remember that the soul exists above that quantum boundary. So anything that happens below that quantum boundary that exists in the 3D world, that the soul, that doesn't affect the soul at all. The soul sort of watches and goes, wow, that's really fascinating. Look what the self is experiencing right now. Fascinating. But the soul is untouched by any of it. So as quantum engineers, we understand that the soul, our true quantum nature, has never been wounded, has never been influenced by anything in the 3D world, has never experienced trauma, and is always, always, always perfect in nature. Perfect in nature. The true nature of who we really are exists beyond the illusion of what we believe, what we've been conditioned to believe the 3D world has done for us, has done to us. Okay. So that is super, super important to remember. And so the forgiveness part in the meditation, that allows us to release all errors in perception, all errors in judgment, all hate, all shame, all anger, all powerlessness, all grudges, all loss, all belief that anything that's happened to us in this skin suit is actually true or real or has any meaning. It's what holy texts, these errors in perception, that, ooh, I've been wounded. Ooh, I've been traumatized. Ooh, this is a pattern. Ooh, the outer world has power over me. These are errors, and we call that an error in perception. And an error in perception is what holy texts of all kinds call sin. To sin means to miss the mark. To sin means to have an error in perception. It doesn't mean to piss off God. God can't be pissed off. The creative force can't be pissed off because it's above the 3D reality. It's above that quantum threshold. So anything that we do, we can't piss off God. It can't be done. So this is a really important distinction to recognize, that to sin means to miss the mark. To sin would be an archer taking an aim at a target and missing the mark. That's what to sin means. So when an archer would miss his target, they would say, ah, he sinned, because he missed his target. He had an error in perception. It didn't mean he pissed off God. So when we are working with the quantum, we're working in this forgiveness part, what we're doing is we are deliberately taking responsibility to engage with the quantum force, to move into that frequency of thanks, to release error, to release our own errors in perception, so that sins may be forgiven and we get a clean slate in consciousness. We get a clean slate in consciousness. So when, if any of you guys were ever raised Catholic, you know, part of the Catholic religion is to go to confession, where you confess your sins to a priest, to a middleman. And you say, oh, Father, I did this wrong, and I did this wrong, and I did this bad. And the priest will say, oh, well, say 3 Hail Marys, and your sins will be forgiven. Well, in concept, that process is accurate, but it's so impotent. The idea and the concept is correct, in that if we can go into consciousness and connect with the quantum field, with the mind of the quantum, the God mind, and say, okay, look, I'm carrying these errors in perception, and I'm going to turn that over to you, which is a part of ourselves, by the way. It's not external. This is why we don't need a priest. This is why we don't need a middleman. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I would get into trouble. At a very young age, I would stand up in church. I was 6 or 7 when it first started, and I would stand up in church, and I would challenge the priests in church, I would whisper to my mom, and I'd say, Mom, that's not right. What he's saying is not right. It's not right. And you know, when we're young, we're forced to go to confession. And I remember going to confession one time and sitting across from the priest and saying, this isn't right. This isn't, I don't need you. Like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like, and oh man, I got into so much trouble in school. And when I was old enough to make the choice, I stopped going to church. I stopped following the protocols, because I understood how ineffective they were and how erroneous they were. So what we're doing in our forgiveness part of this process is we are clearing the slate of our conditioned mind. Slowly but surely clearing away all of those limits of self, so that we can pop directly into the quantum. And this is a practice that we're invited to do daily. You don't just do it once and then expect that all of those layers of conditionings are going to move, because you have to go back into the 3D world. And the 3D world is going to continue to show you that programming is going to continue for a time to still be a projection of the old conditioned mind. This is why it's so challenging, because we go into our work, we go into our practice, we go into our meditation work, and we alter our consciousness. But the 3D world, depending on how powerfully and how much energy you committed to making the change, the 3D world is going to take some time to catch up. And so that's why we can't use the 3D world. This is really important. We can't use the 3D world to validate our processes at the beginning. Because the 3D world, because it's rooted in time and space, is going to take time to catch up to our shift in consciousness. If we're able to make a massive shift in consciousness, to clean our slate in a big way really quickly, then manifestations will happen instantly, like they did with when I healed a tumor and restored my body overnight from being at death's door to being completely restored. The tumor disappeared overnight, but my health was restored within 2 weeks. That was because there was a massive, massive movement of energy in 20 minutes that I had to stay really stable in. For those of you who have heard this story before, and I mentioned it in one of the emails that I posted, I was dying. My body was failing. I was very, very sick. I couldn't hold a paintbrush. I could barely speak. I couldn't walk. I couldn't work. And all my hair was falling out. I had these big black circles under my eyes. My body was failing. And my friends were very concerned about me and wanted me to go to the ER. And I said, no, I know there's something deeper going on here. I don't know what it is yet, but I know there's something really important here that I need to master. I need to clear. And one night when I was literally crawling into bed and my body was in so much pain that I couldn't even let the covers sit on my skin. My body hurt so much. And I rolled over to adjust my pillow. And as I rolled over, I felt this burning lump in my right breast. And I had had a tumor removed from that breast about 3 years earlier. And so the tumor had returned and it was hot as a coal and it was hard as a rock and it hurt like a motherfucker. And I got really, really mad. I got so, 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 so angry. And I said, this is bullshit. And I cried out to the quantum. I said, this is bullshit. And I said, fix me or show me what to do. Tell me what to do and I will do it. But fix me or take me out, because this is not okay with me. This is bullshit. And there was a lot of energy behind my command. Fix me, show me, tell me what to do. I will do whatever it takes to heal, but show me what to do. Tell me what to do. I will do it. And if you can't do that for me, then fucking take me out, because I'm done. And I meant it. I didn't mean that I wanted to die, because I didn't want to die. I wanted to fix it. But I was very committed. There was a lot of energy in my command. I wasn't being a wimp about it. And I said to the angels, I said, you can smite me if you want to, which in Catholic upbringing means if you make God angry or you make the angels angry, they'll smite you. They'll kill you with a bolt of lightning. And so I said, you can smite me if I want to. This is how serious I am. Tell me what to do or take me the fuck out. And in that moment, I heard a direction that said, give us your rage. And I was confused by that for a moment. I said, what do you mean? Give us your rage. And they said it again, give us your rage. And I said, I don't know how to do rage. I don't know what rage is. I've never been given permission to be angry. I had all this trauma and abuse in my life, and I was never allowed to be angry about anything. I had to eat my rage. I was, my mother tried to smother me with a pillow when I was a year and a half old because I had colic and she was a mentally nervous person. And so she tried to smother me with a pillow when I was a year and a half old. And I was raped when I was six by an uncle, and my father died when I was seven, and I was raped again when I was 12. And there was all of this inner anger, and I was never allowed to express any of it. And so when the command said, give us your rage, I didn't know how to do that. And I said, I don't know how to do rage. And so I started to cry. And the message from the quantum, the message from soul was, no, we asked you for your rage. Sadness is very easy for you. It's easy for you to cry. We asked you for your rage. And those messages were from the soul. Those messages were from soul. They were from the quantum. They were from the higher self, which is why it said us, give us your rage, not give me your rage, meaning God somewhere is saying, give me your rage. It was from the soul, the us, the masculine, feminine nature of our higher self. Give us your rage. So I said, well, I don't know how to do that. So I pretended to start to scream into my pillow. And I thought, this is just stupid. But I started to pretended to scream. I pretended to be rageful. I didn't know how to be rageful. I didn't know how to be that angry. But over time, after a few minutes, as I pretended to scream into the pillow, a real energy started to move. And this energy was very powerful. And I noticed that it started, as I committed to screaming into the pillow and doing what I was asked to do, an energy started to build from the very bottom of the soles of my feet. And it started to get really, really hot. It was very, very, very hot. And it started to move up my body from my toes, through my legs, through my hips, into my abdomen, up through my heart, out through my head, and I broke out into this sweat. But it wasn't a sweat. It was like an oil. It was hot, thick, viscous heat. And I kept screaming into the pillow. And then I started to see the replay of my rape at 6 years old. And I started to see my uncle violating me. I wasn't reliving it. I was witnessing it. I was watching it. I was feeling it through the heat. I wasn't reliving it, but I was witnessing it. It was playing out. It was running like a movie in my head. And in the assault, when I was being violated, the story was changed where I was able to stand up to my uncle and say, "Get the fuck off me. Don't you touch me, you fucking piece of shit. Who do you think you are?" And all of this rage and this anger came out through this movie that was playing in my head, where I was able to get him off me and stand my ground and say, "You will not touch me. Nobody touches me," and had this whole replay. And this whole recapitulation is what it's called, where you're able to go back in time and clean the slate. In that moment, the slate was cleaned. And the past was changed. The past was altered in that moment, where the rape never occurred. And after that, I passed out. I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning, still covered in that layer of sweat. And I was pissed off because I was still here. I didn't put two and two together at that time until I reached up under my shirt and the tumor was gone. The lump was gone. And I thought, did I get the wrong side? Like, is it on the other boob? And I checked out the other breast and nope, it wasn't there. And I went back and I go, "Oh my God, that tumor is gone." And within 2 weeks, my healing, my health was restored. That was a quantum forgiveness with a massive amount of energy behind it that allowed a miracle to occur instantly, instant manifestation, overnight. But it required a massive amount of energy, the heat that was generated in my body to do that, and the amount of energy that I had to really stay present to. And that was what I reminded myself. I said, "Something is happening here. Stay present. Don't freak out. Don't bail out. Don't run away. Stay present. Stay present. Stay present. Stay present. Something is happening here." And that was a very powerful quantum event that altered time and space, that put my consciousness in the past, was able to recapitulate, reshape the past, and erase the past so that the past would be erased in my body and my body would restore itself. That was a massive quantum event. What we're doing when we do, and so that was a forgiveness. That was a giving forward of a condition in self. That was a forgiveness. That was a giving forward of a trauma that happened to self, but soul was immune to it. So when soul said to me, "Give us your rage," soul can take that energy and it doesn't affect it at all. So my soul witnessed it. My soul experienced it. My soul was observing it. And then my soul took it and erased it. And then my body was instantly transformed. So what we are doing when we do our quantum forgiveness is we are doing that process in a conscious way. We're doing it deliberately. Now, when this quantum healing happened for me, I had no experience of that. I didn't know what was happening. I've only since, as I've spent the last 15 years trying to dismantle it, figured out how we can do that consciously without it having to be a big deal, where we can do it intentionally. We can do it on our own terms. We can do it in an elegant way. We can do it in a beautiful way. We can do it in a way that's graceful and intentional. So when we do our quantum forgiveness, that's what we are doing. We are handing over anything and everything that occurred in ourself, and we're handing it over to soul, and soul takes it and transmutes it and pulls it out of time and space, and it erases it for all intents and purposes. All intents and purposes, it's erasing it. So this is what is meant by sins may be forgiven. And so again, this is a practice we're invited to do daily, in an elegant, beautiful, consistent way, where every day we go into the quantum and we say, whatever judgments, whatever errors in judgment or perception I have, whatever false ideas that I have been wounded, whatever animosities, whatever anger I'm carrying, whatever fear or belief that I have been wounded in any way, whatever, I surrender it all. I forgive it all. I give it up. And we can do that daily. And it becomes this beautiful privilege to be able to share that relationship with our soul. So what we're doing is, if we practice this daily, is we're continually peeling back the layers of misperception. Because everything and everyone you experience in your life is seen and experienced through your filters. We never see people or things as they really are. My body, when I was sick, had become a container of that belief, even though it was unconscious, that I had been damaged in some way through that trauma. Right, and all of the rage, the unexpressed rage, had never given any place to go, and so it was killing my body. I had turned it in, and it was destroying my body. So we are invited by the quantum to give it all of these conditions, so that we can set up room for spirit to move. So when I gave forth that rage, a massive opening for spirit to rush in was provided, and then the quantum spirit energy rushed into my body and restored it. Right? So everything and everyone you see or experience in your life is seen and experienced through your filters. We never see things, we never see the world as it really is. It's all done through filters, all done through our conditioning. And the same thing applies to our life, circumstances, our money, our health, our well-being. So life and our circumstances, the people in it, our experiences, like, they show up in our lives as we are. We perceive the world through our filters. We perceive the world through our lenses. So look at the world and go, what patterns am I constantly noticing? What energies in myself am I constantly recognizing in the 3D world? So if you're noticing repeating patterns with money, with life circumstances, with feeling blocked, with feeling stuck or thwarted in life, you feel like somebody's attacking you, if you're being constantly bullied or attacked by people in the outer world, or you think you're being attacked by psychic things in the invisible world, you have to stop that. And you go, no, this is me. There's something in me that is generating that feeling or is generating that experience. And as quantum engineers, we take 1000% responsibility for it. We don't play victim. We say, I know this lies within me, and I'm going to, right now in this moment, I'm going to forgive it. We don't even need to know where it came from. We don't need to know, you know, we don't need to know specifics. We just need to know that it's there. We've all got it, right? So if there are any of these hiccups in your life where you're feeling stuck, it's because there's an aspect in your consciousness that is creating those things. There's a seed of programming that is generating those things. It's not an external force working against you. It's not the universe saying that it doesn't want you to have certain things. It's not some karmic curse. It's a seed in consciousness. And so if there's an issue in your life that you want to heal, for me, it was my body, and I committed to it. I said, I am healing this. I'm so committed to healing this that I'm willing to be smote by the angels. This is how serious I am. And that's the level of commitment that we are invited to give to this transformation. Because we can do it elegantly, gently, over time, or we can do it in a big, powerful bolt, lightning bolt from the blue, like I did with my instant miracle healing. And over time, as you start to generate this elegant way of doing it, it starts to accelerate. It starts to, the power of it starts to increase exponentially. So that as you start to master this process of elegantly clearing the conditioning of self, it starts to happen faster and faster and faster. So at first, it will happen slowly. You'll start to see the outer world responding over time to your clearing away. But then what it'll start to do is it'll start to happen overnight. You'll have a thought and you'll see that thought show up in your reality within an hour. So, but at first, we practice this elegantly. It starts slowly. Okay. So we can get to instant manifestation, instant miracles through this process of forgiveness. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic screaming into the pillow, sweating oil kind of thing. It can be very elegant and very beautiful. It doesn't have to be that dramatic unless you absolutely insist on it. And really, I don't recommend it. So if there's an issue in your life you want to heal, let's say it's a money issue, and you seem to be repeating the same patterns over and over and over again. Well, what we do is we claim responsibility. We say, aha, this circumstance in my life exists here because there's an error in mind somewhere. There's an error in my consciousness somewhere. There's a limiting condition that is causing the problem. We don't need to know where it came from. We don't need to know who gave it to us. We don't need to know how old we were when it was established. We just need to claim responsibility that it's there. It might have come from this lifetime. It might have come from another lifetime. We don't care. It doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're willing to say, there is something within my consciousness. There's a sliver in my mind that is causing this to occur, this thing, and I'm willing to forgive it. And so in a money situation, we would say, this issue with my money, it can be for anything. It can be your health. It can be, a situation with people in your life. It can be in your career, whatever. This issue with, fill in the blank, but let's just say it's money. This issue with my money is rooted in an error in my consciousness, and I am willing to release it. I am willing to turn it over to my higher consciousness. I'm willing to turn it over to my soul. I'm willing to move above that quantum threshold, which is me. Remember, that diagram is all you, self, soul, source. It's all you. So that part of you that can transform this is a part of you. You're not handing it over to some external God. You're not handing it over to some force outside of you. You're handing it over to a different part of you. And you're turning it over to that part of you in which that error cannot exist. When you're handing it over to the quantum, that error in judgment, that error in conditioning cannot exist. It's not like the soul is going to say, yeah, maybe I'll do it or maybe I won't. It's not that. It can't exist there. And so if you hand it over to that level of mind, that trauma, that conditioning can't exist there. So when I had my instant miracle healing and the request was show me what to do or tell me what to do, and my soul said, give us your rage, and I was able to release it and give it to the higher self to release it. In the giving, in the forgiving, in the giving forward, that illusion of damage could not exist at that level of consciousness. And that's what allowed the healing to occur. Okay? It's not that the soul is going to make a choice about whether or not it does what you ask. When you forgive something, when you give something forward, when you give a health issue, when you give a money issue, when you give a relationship issue forward in that way, that distortion can't exist at that level of consciousness. Okay, so that clears up any confusion about, well, do I deserve it? Have I been honorable enough? Am I vibrating high enough? Have I been doing enough good duties in the day? No, none of that matters. It can't exist there. So we go on to say, I forgive any and all errors in my judgment that have caused this issue in my life. I release all errors in judgment, and I turn them over to my higher mind that they be redeemed. To redeem something means you convert it into another higher level of energy. So when you're doing the forgiveness meditation, there's 5 minutes at the end of the forgiveness of the end of the quantum forgiveness meditation that you're invited to release these things. And so you can hand it all over. And the higher mind responds. You've already engaged with it through the quantum gratitude part at the beginning of the meditation. You've put yourself in phase with the giving and the receiving of that quantum field, and you hand it over, and and it is given. It's automatically done. Ask and it is given. And so you release it. The higher self, the quantum self, accepts it. It is converted. It is redeemed, converted into pure energy. The sin, the error in consciousness, the error in perception, the condition is forgiven. It's neutralized. And a degree of wholeness is restored, where an opening of greater truth is created. And at the end of the meditation, just allow yourself, you start the guided meditation with thanks, and you end the guided meditation with thank you. And then at the end of the meditation, just allow yourself to sit in stillness and quietness for a couple of minutes before you step out into the world. And then as you step out into the world, notice what you notice about that. Notice what you notice throughout the day. So that's the process of the quantum thanks and the quantum forgiveness. In order for us to access the quantum field to generate miracles, we've got to be able to get conditioning out of the way so that the quantum nature can pour in. Again, the principle is spirit moves in direct proportion to how much room we give it. So that spirit can move in, wholeness can move in, order can move in, abundance can move in, and start to run the show. And then as we deepen that practice, then what we'll work on next week is affirming the quantum nature, which is where we'll start sort of our quantum prayer. What was interesting about the healing, the instant healing that I'd had was I kind of did it. I did it backwards in that my prayer was fix me. And as opposed to asking for stuff to be done at the end of the prayer. So in my instant material miracle thingy, I did it backwards. And I only did it backwards because I didn't know what I was doing. It was a completely spontaneous thing that then with my curious nature, I'm like, I want to be able to do more of that. What was that? How do I reverse engineer that? And then learning how to reverse engineer it so that it can be done gently here in the 3D world. So the strategy for becoming quantum is you engage, you become the quantum, you release any conditions that aren't quantum, and then you affirm the quantum. So these first two steps of quantum gratitude and quantum forgiveness, they have to happen first. Well, they don't have to happen first, as in my original case, but it is a lot more elegant and it's a lot more efficient. So this is what I want you to practice with those guided meditations, with that guided meditation, and really spend time with it and notice what you notice with it. It's a beautiful, beautiful meditation. So it's lovely. So that's the teaching, the coaching for today. I know some of you guys sent in questions. Barbara says she can hear. Hi, Barbara. So great to be here with you in the community. That's wonderful.
Yay.
Christina says, hi, Simone. I didn't find the PDF of Module 1 and the slides. When will they be posted? I don't always have access to a computer, so I was hoping they would be downloadable. FYI, I'm using Firefox and on a PC. So the webinar is there, Christina. What you do is you click on the link for the webinar where it says watch the webinar here. What you're saying to me, Christina, is that you can't access the webinar and so you want the slides so that you can listen to the audio. Is that what you need? Because I didn't post the slides. I just posted the webinar, but I can post the slides if that makes it easier for you. The webinar should be viewable on Firefox. On a PC, it should be. It should be. But what I'll do is if you prefer to watch the slides or to have access to the slides and listen to the audio instead of watching the webinar, then I will do that for you. But I think you should be able to, use to watch the webinar on Firefox. I know for sure you can watch it on Chrome. But I will upload the slides specifically for you if that makes that easier for you to do. So now is when you get to ask your questions. You can type them into the Q&A box if you like. You can raise your hand if you like. So we'll take the next 30 minutes or so to answer some questions. And I know I had a couple of you email me some questions because you're on the other side of the world. We're probably sleeping right about now. So let me just bring those up here. Okay, hang on a second. So if you have questions, you can type them into the Q&A box. Or you can raise your hand. But let me get to these email questions first. Hold on. Computer so-so. It's thinking. Come on, Peter. Good grief. Maybe I'll do it on my phone here. Might be. Oh, there we go. It's taking its good, sweet time here this morning on a Saturday. So I hope that makes sense to what we're talking about here, in that this is why you know, when we work from self, when we don't put ourselves into the quantum first, that doing any kind of miracle working is challenging. We have to be rooted beyond space and time in order to shape stuff beyond space and time. Okay, here we go. My emails are up. This is an email from Bill. And Bill says, hi, Simone. Thank you for the first module. My question for the coaching call is as follows. I like to occasionally smoke cannabis of the sativa strain. I find in relaxing my brain, it opens my mind to possibility and helps me creatively generate positive action and positive solution. Certainly, I know it's altering my brain function, but always in positive ways to help me move forward. Will the use of cannabis impair my ability to engage in the quantum? Thanks so much, Bill. So whenever we use medicine, plant medicine, whether it's cannabis or ayahuasca or mushrooms or any of the other sort of plant medicines to gain altered states in consciousness, I view those things as a tool. They are tools. They help us recognize the power of our brain, our minds, to be altered. They, in my perception, work like training wheels. We smoke cannabis, or we go on an ayahuasca journey, or we do a magic mushroom adventure, and we have an experience. And we come back from that experience being changed in some way, because our brain has had an experience. We've had an experience, and that experience gets hardwired into our consciousness. So they using medicinals is a way to strengthen the understanding that there is and are realms of perception that exist beyond our 3D reality. So I've done ayahuasca twice in my life, and they were really profound experiences. Both of them were vastly different. One was a very beautiful, loving, tender, kind, healing experience. And the second one was just 8 hours of crying and wailing and pain and feeling all of the world's pain. They were both vastly different experiences. And I'm forever changed by them. But I haven't felt a need to go back to do ayahuasca. because the reality of it is we can access realms of consciousness without medicines. And ultimately, the goal of mastery is to be able to get into the quantum without needing a tool. We want to be able to access the quantum from a profoundly conscious level, to be able to be sitting here right now with you in this moment, in this skin suit, taking a few moments, taking a couple of breaths, taking a moment to engage, being able to open the eyes and be quantum in the moment, without having to go on an ayahuasca journey, without having to smoke, without having to take any sort of ingestible, but to be able to do it on the fly right now in the moment to go quantum. So the short answer is your cannabis negating or affecting your ability to go quantum? No. It's a tool, but ultimately, as masters, as quantum engineers, we want to be able to do it without the use of an earthly tool. And again, remember, anything in the earth realm has no authentic creative power. It influences your mental structure. But you can access that realm of consciousness without it, if you learn how. So what I always invite people to do is I say, okay, if you're doing ayahuasca or if you're smoking cannabis, fine. When you're doing it, when you're in the process, realize you go, okay, I'm in an altered state of consciousness right now while you're on the trip, while you're doing it. And you go, okay, I understand that cannabis got me here, but I don't need it to get here. So your job when you're in that altered state is to say, okay, remember this feeling. How does this circuitry feel when it's running in my brain? How is my breath operating while I'm in this state? What am I doing? Where is my mind right now? How does this feel different than I feel when I'm not under the influence? What's been altered? And you remember it. You remember it. You say, remember it. I want to be able to recreate. It becomes an intention of the trip. It becomes an intention while you're there to say, I want to be able to recreate this without needing a tool. I want to recreate this without needing to smoke. I want to recreate this without needing to ingest the ayahuasca. I want to remember this. This is my authentic nature. And that becomes a part of the trip. That becomes a part of what you learn, so that you're not just off tripping for the sake of tripping, but you're using it for a reason. So when I had my instant manifestation of my healing, part of what the message was, remember this. When I got to the other side of the healing, where I was in the redeemed state, where it had been turned over, where the trauma had been turned over, the message was, remember this. Remember this. Because you're going to need to bring it back with you. Remember this. So I invite you to use your medicinals, because I know that a couple of you also do ayahuasca a fair bit. But when you're in the journey, make it a conscious, intentional thing to say, I want to be able to get to this state without having to use something, to do it. I want to be able to get to this state with a snap of a finger, with a simple thought, without needing to use something in the 3D world. Because listen, if you're out in the 3D world and you're going to want to cultivate something while you're in business or you're in an emergency situation and you want to be able to access that mind state, you're not going to have time to say, I'm going to go smoke a joint, or I'm going to go do an ayahuasca journey so that I can access my higher consciousness. That's not mastery. But you can use the tools that you're using now and ask them to help you integrate the ability to do this on the fly, on your own, in the moment, with your eyes open, in full sobriety, in full consciousness, with full declarative power. Right? that, and to be honest with you, being able to access the quantum on your own through these processes of getting into uber coherent state without having to be using an external stimulant, a drug to do it, is different. It's different. I did mushrooms once in high school, and all I did was giggle, and that's not at all what I feel when we're in the quantum. Having done ayahuasca twice, that's still a very different experience. It's very different than being sober and deliberately accessing the quantum through your own geometry. Through your own geometry. So that's what I would say to that question, dear Bill, is feel free to continue to use it, but when you're using it, ask it to serve you so that you can access the authentic quantum without you needing to be medicated to do it. Okay, I hope that helps. Bill also, and then this other email is from Craig, my dear friend in Australia. Craig says, "Dear Simone, thank you so much for your first module on becoming quantum. I love what you're teaching, such deep and powerful truth. The truth shall set you free, and I can feel that this truly will. I would like to know if the soul is unaffected by all we experience in the 3D world, as it's all an illusion. Does beauty and love touch or reach the soul in any way, or only the self? If it's all an illusion, I'm thinking that it doesn't, but I would appreciate your advice. Many thanks. Deep appreciation, Craig." So what Craig said here, the truth shall set you free. The truth is that we are unaffected by anything. That is the truth. That in the 3D world, the truth is that everything that the 3D world throws at us does not affect our soul. Everything that the 3D world throws at us does not affect our soul. The stuff that traumatizes us, that breaks us, that wounds us, the truth is that does not touch us. The truth is that we are perfect in being. And when we recognize that truth, that is the truth that sets us free, for sure. But do beauty and love touch the soul? Beauty and love that we experience in the 3D world is the soul. It is the soul. Those things that, when we see beauty and we see truth in the 3D world, that's when the soul has reached through the distortion, the pain and the suffering and the catastrophe and the trauma and the difficulty of the 3D world, where the soul has found a pocket, an opening in the quantum, and it's reached down, and it's like these little sunbeams of energy and information come in, and you see a beautiful sunset, or you see a beautiful tree, or you see a beautiful mountain vista, and you're like, that's why those things touch us so profoundly, because it is our soul has snuck into the 3D world and said, hello, this is who you really are. Catch a whiff of this. That's why nature is so powerful. Nature is so, and the beauty of nature and the beauty the beauty of a beautiful piece of art that really is ultimately is there to capture nature. Beauty, or the beauty of nature, the beauty of a plant, the beauty of a gorgeous animal, the beauty of being out in the middle of the forest or the desert and being so wrapped with awe, is because when you're in nature, you are beyond the conditioned mind. When you move into the cities where there is all sorts of mind, there's layers and layers and layers and layers of mind. There's human after human after human after human projecting their conditioning into the 3D world. That's what causes cities to feel so weird. But when you're in nature where there's no conditioning, where it's just you and the beauty of unconditioned mind, that's your soul. That's why people who are really paying attention, they go, oh my God, I need to get out in nature. I need to be in that beauty. That part of the 3D world is about as unconditioned as you're going to get here in the 3D. That's why nature is so important. You know, I'm working on this project with NASA right now, and I'm working with a couple of astronauts who spent a fair bit of time up in the space shuttle to service the Hubble Space Telescope. Whenever the Hubble needed repairs, they would send astronauts up in the space shuttle to go repair it. And a couple of them have had what they call, they have these experiences where when they leave Earth's gravitational field, I think they call it the observer phenomenon. They're off the entire planet where it's just them. They have no connection anymore to the conditioned mind that influences the planet. They're way up above the atmosphere of the Earth, and they're looking down at the Earth, and they are seeing the Earth from a completely unconditioned position. And this happens time. Every astronaut who's been off Earth has reported it. And it changes them. And they look down on the planet and they are rapt by its sheer beauty. The beauty of that gorgeous globe. It alters them immediately. Now, why? And what they're recognizing when they're looking down at the beauty of the planet is they're viewing the planet as she truly is, perfect and whole and integrated. And the perception is so clear because they're not tangled up in all of the other erroneous false perceptions of they're free of all of the perceptions, all of the conditionings of the human mind. And so what they're really perceiving is truth, the beauty of the planet in its purest state, without 7 billion minds influencing it, is about as close to the soul as it gets. So beauty that we sense and see is a pocket of soul popping up through unconditioned mind, popping up through the conditioned mind to say, hello, this is who you really are. Hello, this is who you really are. So that's how I would answer that question, dear Craig, that the beauty that we see and sense and experience in the 3D world, it's not coming through self. It is soul, and that's why it moves us so profoundly, and that's why we long to be able to capture it in some meaningful way. The beauty is a reflection of perfection. The beauty is a reflection of wholeness, and a beauty is a reflection of order and grace and symmetry. True beauty has a gorgeous symmetry to it. The beauty of nature has all of that. All of that arithmetic, I don't know why I can't come up with that word, that geometry that is rooted in the quantum. And that's why it touches us. It says, hello, this is you. Hello, remember me, this is you. That's right. So that's why in the middle of a war zone, my neighbors are opening the garage, in the middle of a war zone, a flower can bloom. A flower can blossom. She'll bark for a second here, guys, so just bear with us. That's the beauty of a plant or a flower as it blooms in the middle of a bombing site. It's always there. It just pops up to remind us. So that's how I would answer that for you, Craig. Great question. Great question. Okay. My neighbors are just finishing this new place that I live. The garage is right under our living room. And so whenever my neighbors move their car, Lily has something to say about it. Will you come here, please, kid? Okay. Okay. Okay, Lily, that's enough. Lil, come here, please. Okay, so we've got some typed in questions here. Sandy says, hi, Simone, everything is clear. The slides for me work better too. Okay, I'll be sure and upload that. I'll be sure and upload that for you. Michelle says, hi, Simone. Love this class as always. It's amazing how I can listen to you share these principles and your experiences, and I experience a major release in the process. Appreciate you and all the wisdom you share with us. Love, Michelle. Thanks, Michelle. Michelle's on a big adventure of her own right now, and all of these tools will certainly help you, and I'm glad it's resonating. Beth says, from Boston, Beth says, hi, Simone, what other tools besides meditation are acceptable for breaking through the self debris? Are astrology, tarot, palmistry, et cetera, okay to use, or do they act more as a distraction? No, they don't act as a distraction. They too are tools. They too are tools, just like in answering the question for Bill and using the medicinals, they're a tool. They point you towards truth. And here's what's fascinating to recognize is that whether you're using tarot or astrology or anything like that in the 3D world, those things are tools that the quantum uses to catch our attention. They help train us. So if you're using tarot, if you're using astrology, and I always say that, you know, there are levels of tarot, there are levels of astrology, there are levels of all of these tools that we use in the 3D world, that some are more profound and some are more precise than others. I always say, if you're working with astrology, see if you can develop an esoteric astrology practice or work with an esoteric astrologer. Those esoteric astrologers tend to work more profoundly with the quantum than people who are strictly rooted in the 3D world. So simply put, tarot, palmistry, astrology are tools. Use them. Use them until you don't need them anymore. Use them until you don't need them anymore. When you're using your tarot or when you're using your astrology and it's pointing you in certain directions, it's there to say, you have access to this. You have access to this realm of power. You have access to this realm of possibility. It's here for you. Because at the core, at the root, you as a soul have access to all of the information carried within the field that the tarot and the astrology and the palmistry use. So if you use those things as tools, use them as tools. And as you're using them, when you get the information from them, when you get the guidance from them, really deliberately say, okay, remember this feeling. Remember this feeling. Because here's what I always like to say. What if the wisdom of the unified field, what if the wisdom of your soul was so clever that it landed you on a deserted island, where you didn't have access to your tools, where you didn't have access, you didn't bring your tarot cards on the boat trip that sank and wound you up on the desert island. You didn't bring your tarot cards. You didn't bring your palm reader. You didn't bring your ayahuasca. You didn't bring your cannabis with you. It's just you. Would you be able to be on that desert island and access the quantum without those tools? And the answer is, of course. Of course you would. But if you're here in the 3D world where you're not stranded on a desert island and you have access to those tools, by all means, use them. But we want to be able to get to the point where we don't need them anymore. Where they have, like training wheels on a bicycle. We have used them. They have served their purpose. They have gotten us where we need to go. And we can dismiss them. We can let them go eventually. Okay, so never in a million years would ever tell anybody to dismiss their tools. Right, and Beth says, so tarot is of the earth realm, but is astrology? It is. Astrology is also of the earth realm because it's something that we perceive in the 3D world. Right, we are here. We look out into the sky and we see astrology and how the planets and the stars move through their circuits and how we are influenced by all of that. It's still 3D. Right. But again, it's a tool. It's a tool. Use the tool until you don't need it anymore. And then the question is asking yourself, if I were stranded on a desert island and I didn't have access to my tools, would I be able to do it? Would I be able to do what I need to do with just me, with just my vehicle of consciousness? And the answer is, yes, you would. Abso-frickin-fucking-lutely. Right? So when you're using your tools of tarot and astrology and your medicinals, use them intentionally with the intention to say, I know that this is a tool that's putting me in a position point so that I can ultimately, down the road, know exactly what I need to do in every moment, have access to the quantum field in every moment when I need it, in the moment now, without needing my tool. That's mastery, right? So continue to use your tools in a meaningful way that that will support you in that way, okay? So if you have access to these wonderful tools, use them with that intentionality, all right? I hope that I hope that answers that for you. Beth, let me know that it does, if that makes sense. Because that's always sort of the litmus test that I always say, if I were stranded on a desert island, could I access, and I had no access to anything except myself, then could I do what I need to do in order to survive? Right. So your tools are helping you, but you don't want to become dependent on them. Okay. I hope that answers that for you. Okay, let's see. Beth says, thank you for the island analogy. I think I understand. Yeah. The quantum mind, the soul mind, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, is very clever. It finds ways to teach us. It uses movies to get messages. It uses to get messages to us. It uses billboards to get messages to us. It uses other people to get messages to us. It creates tools in the 3D to help us, to train us into our true nature. So these tools are, when used properly, are very powerful instructors that ultimately teach us how to recognize impulses of wholeness. They teach us to recognize impulses of imbalance. They teach us how to recognize impulses of distortion. They teach us how to recognize the entire spectrum of being, whether it's planetary, whether it's tarot, whether it's medicinals. They are there to teach us what wholeness and what integration feels like. And when we have, if you've ever done a tarot reading and you get your messages and it's responding to what you need in that moment, it feels a certain way. You're like, poof, it hits you. You're like, oh, that really landed. And it almost takes your breath away. You're like, oh, wow, that's great. Okay. When you get that feeling, you go, okay, that feeling didn't come from the cards. That feeling was always there. The cards just revealed it. The cards or the astrological reading just revealed the wholeness. The wholeness was always there. But the cards, just like when you see beauty, they open a portal. They open a little gem to say, here you are, really. Oh, what's this wholeness feel like? And so the confusion becomes, we think that the wholeness, that the feeling is coming from the cards. And the cards or the reading isn't really what's the source of that feeling. The cards are merely revealing what's already there. Beth says, I guess I feel I would need to show the use of tools to help others in a business. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. But just what I just said, the the cards aren't the source of the wholeness. The cards are revealing the wholeness. And you're 1,000% right. When you're wanting to help people, you need as many tools in the 3G world as you can get. Right? So when where meditation is a tool, cards, tarot is a tool. And especially if you're wanting to help people see, to see patterns, right? The, you know, astrology is based in a lot of symbols. The tarot is full of symbology, right? And archetypical imagery, right? The images, the pictures on the cards are powerful messengers. People need to see. They need to, when they're first starting out, people need to see what the message is. That's why the tarot is so powerful, because it shows you a picture. And the picture communicates with the level of mind very, very deeply, very, very profoundly, that goes beyond the conscious mind. It goes straight into the subconscious. Right? So embrace your tools, use them well, understand their vast power in revealing what is true, but they themselves are not the source of what is true. They're just the tool. It's like Michelangelo said when he carved the David. He said, the David was already in there. It was a big 30-foot block of marble, right? Michelangelo said the David was always in there. Michelangelo just released him. So what our tools do is they reveal the truth. They support a revelation of the truth, but they aren't the power itself. Right? That's why when you do a tarot reading for somebody, you want them to touch the cards. At least any tarot reading that I've ever gone to, they always say, you know, you shuffle the cards. And then they clear the deck right before somebody else comes, so that deck is then cleared for whoever shows up next. Right? Those tools are responding to what's true in me. So I hope that clarifies that for you, dear Beth. I love a beautiful tarot deck. It's fun to go in and play and you know, just on a particular day be like, I'm going to pull a card and let's see what shows up. Boom, boom, boom. And be like, okay, I will be observant. No, I will generate. So if you pull a certain card and let's just say it's the High Priestess card. You pull a High Priestess card and you're like, all right, I'm going to energize that energy in myself today. I'm going to embody that energy. I'm not going to give the card the power to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to amplify that High Priestess energy today. And that starts to run the circuitry. That starts to amplify the circuitry in our system. So I hope that answers that. Beth says, yes, that explains it. Wholeness versus validation. Sorry if I'm taking up too much time. Lots of questions. I think I'd need a more specific question there, Beth. What do you mean by wholeness versus validation? If you could give that to me, I'd appreciate that. Christina says, hi, Simone. I'm having a tough time and getting more magnified in this call. Please call on me today. The class page at the bottom says all materials in this course are in digital form, PDF, and streaming video. It's usually challenged. Okay, I'll get the PDFs. I'll get the PDFs up for you there, kid. All right. PDFs of the meditations I can't do because they're audio. The meditations are in an audio form. So you should be able to download the audio portion of it. But I will, so there is no PDF of the meditation. They're not copied anywhere. If what's helpful for you, Christine, is the meditation audio files are pretty small, so I can email that to you directly and do that for you. I can do that for you. Absolutely. Cool. Okay, Christina, I'm answering your call. Hang on. Where'd you go? Are you there, Christina?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, God bless you, honey. Thank you. And thank you for doing the PDFs. I'm not supposed to be looking at computer screens very often, and I don't always have access to a computer, so it would just be really okay. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Okay, a couple of things going on here that are really big. One, yesterday, two awarenesses. One was in terms of things that were blocking me. One was letting go of the fear of something bad will happen. And it didn't matter what it was about. And the second thing was letting go of the belief that I need somebody to save me. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know, it's like really core obstructions. Like, why is this financial pattern keep happening? Why is this living situation? Why is whatever it is? Mm-hmm. And that's what showed up were those two global things. And it made a profound difference in how I proceeded with the day. But I've also found in relation to your work, it's like initially, for some reason, I thought I saw four download. Did you change the class page at all? Were all of them were all up at one point?
The things that are on the page now are the link to the webinar is there. The audio of the webinar is there, so you could download the audio and just listen to the audio. And then there's the button for the guided meditation is there, the audio. And then there's a button for the coaching call, but that is what we're doing right now. So that this recording would go on the coaching call. So those four buttons are.
I swear I saw days ago four different meditations that were already downloadable.
Nope.
So, and then all of a sudden they weren't there anymore. And it was like, okay, did she change the page or was I having a shooting here or whatever? Okay, so that clears up that one.
Yeah.
Then I'm having tremendous resistance to doing the work for the class. Now, my problem is, one of them, is that I have a vast spiritual toolbox built over 40 years, approximately 40 years. And over the last 2-3 years, it's like some part of me just has not been wanting to use them. And I have been having such a resistance to doing the work for this class, too, to the point now where literally you can hear it in my voice. I'm shaking. I'm trembling. And I think those two fears that I identified yesterday, and it's not that they were new, but the profundity that they absolutely affected everything, that I was always terrified of something bad. It didn't matter what it was. You know, I mean, it could be making my bed. You know, I mean, not that silly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And here, and I didn't want to take any, you know, like supplements to calm down or anything. I wanted you to hear this, see this. And then one other thing surfaced. Okay. There was somebody that I was doing some work with, because you were talking about psychic attack and spiritual attack and how it's all manufactured from us, from within ourselves. I had been doing some work with somebody who was doing a lot of free stuff online for over a year, and there was some dialogue, you know, through chat boxes and that at one point, and through, you know, being able to work, you know, verbally. And it became obvious to me that this person was not in alignment with what I needed to do.
Right.
And their main is, let's just say, energetically clean as would be best for me.
Sure.
And, you know? Once that started, and I started to feel like real againstness coming at me from that person. And they are extremely powerful spiritually and psychically. Now, that's not to say that I'm not, but that it again today with it. I could feel it before this class with you started. And I'm energetically sensitive to earthquakes and to any, you know, pretty much most large energies on the planet, which has made it difficult for me.
Sure.
And so that so helps. So those are all of the things. I
cool.
Through, all the spaghetti on the ceiling.
Awesome. Good. Well, what I want to be able to say is, awesome. I'm really glad that these beliefs came forward right now. And part of the resistance is whenever whenever resistance shows up in a system, I always look at that and go, this is an opportunity, especially with myself. Like if I'm, I don't notice the resistances so much when I'm doing my spiritual work, but I'll notice the resistances in the 3D when there's something I need to do to move forward and I resist it. I'm like, I need to look at that. I need to go into that. And one of the, I need to do that. And one of the breakthrough positions in any kind of work, whether it's metaphysical or mystical or even just psychological, is that our power is where our monsters lie. Our power lies in the things that we most fear to do. There's a monster, there's a guardian, there's a resistance at every fucking threshold. And what tends to happen is we'll see that resistance, we'll feel that resistance, and we'll be shut down by it. And we'll say, I can't go there. I can't look at it. It's too strong. I'm too sensitive. I can't. And so what happens in that moment is the pattern, the monster wins. The old conditioning wins because it goes, I shut her down. She's not, she can't, she won't, she won't do it. And when I notice that in myself, it's kind of like I go to the monster that says, oh, you can't call this person. You can't reach out to this person. Who do you think you are to reach out to NASA? Who do you think you are to be so powerful that you can sit at this table with these really important people? You need to just keep walking. Don't you dare. And I'm like, you know what? I've heard you and I'm doing it anyway. And it's like when I said to the angels when I had my healing, I said, you can fucking smite me if you want to, which means kill me, destroy me. I don't care. We need to be able to face these monsters no matter how much resistance there is. And if in that moment where you feel the resistance, you can say to your soul, you can say to your higher self, you can say, I'm going to cross this threshold. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the work. Please. Give me, and this is so ironic in your state, in your case, so fucking ironic. Give me grace so that I can. Because Christina's name is Christina Grace. And so in those moments when you're facing resistance, we have to do it. We have to do it when we're facing that resistance. That's the old patterning saying, ha, I dare you to try to break me apart. I dare you to have more power than me, you wimp. And then we turn around because it's too scary. But in that moment, if we can say, give me the grace and the courage to do this, and you will be granted that grace and that courage. It still might be scary. It still might be uncomfortable, but your higher self hears you. Your higher self, this in the moment with you is you battling with the devil in the desert and then the grace of Christ. And again, this is another irony. Your name is Christina, the feminine Christ Grace, Christina Grace. And those are fucking huge words of power. Those are massive words of power. And so you are literally named. You are literally named power. And so when you realize these beliefs that if I let go of this belief, something bad's going to happen. And the other belief that came forward, you say, okay, you know what? These scare me. They really do. They scare me, but I'm going to bring them forward so that they can be released. And come what may, and I call in the power of the Christ in me, Christina, and the grace in me, to move me through this and to support me in this. And it will drop in. And again, that is you. That is your grace. That is your Christed nature. It's not coming from outside of you. So that's what I would say to address the first part of that equation. And then the second part of the equation, and oftentimes, and I've heard this time and time and time again with people who are coming to me for coaching who are at high levels, at a very high levels, and they've had repeated interactions with coaches or teachers where there's been a power struggle, where when the student is getting ready for a major upgrade in power, that the teacher that they're working with comes forward in some way to thwart them or to try to shut them down. And it's happened, golly, over the last 6 months, I think I've had three coaching students who are getting ready for a major breakthrough. And they said, I had to leave my teacher because the power struggle was so violent that I couldn't stay. I had to go. And so that teacher, those teachers who tend to cultivate that kind of battle are actually doing you a favor because they're booting you out of the nest so that you can move into a higher realm of your true authentic power. And so what I would invite you to do with this other teacher who you feel is somehow thwarting you is to bless them, forgive them, release them, let them go. Again, this is what I mean by if we can let them off the hook of them having any kind of power over us, then they no longer do, right? It's like when somebody curses you, like the way a witch doctor is able to curse somebody is they make that person believe that the witch doctor has more power than the person they're cursing. Now, nobody could ever curse Jesus. He'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? You're not my father. You have no power over me. So the way that you can release this power struggle is by bringing your teachers, all of your teachers, to mind and forgive them. Say, you guys were in my life for a time for a reason. All of the people who have done shitty things to you in your life were in your life for a time for a reason, and forgive them all. And if that feels resistant, then you say, okay, I'm crossing this threshold anyway. Smite me if you want to. Smite me if you want to, angels. They won't. That's, a limited belief. And I call on the power of grace to move me through this. And you'll notice that those resistances and that energy, part of the reason that you're vibrating, there's so much energy, mm-hmm. is because you're at a threshold of a greater level of energy. There's more energy being made available to you. But the system is constricted. It's tight. So it's like you're being... the image that I'm seeing is that a fire hose on full blast is being aimed at you, and you're constricted. And if a fire hose at full blast is being aimed at you and you're resisting it, it's going to hurt, and your body's going to go, I can't handle it. And so the invitation is to move into it, call on the power of grace to move you through it. And see what happens when you pop out on the other side. And that will help you navigate, because this is you moving into greater levels of power. And my job is to be able to say, yes, you have all this power. You've got to move into it. I'm certainly not in any way, shape, or form going to try to talk you out of it. That would be stupid, because that generates resistance. And here's the thing too, you guys. I am you. You are me. Christina is her teacher. Christina is me. I am Christina. I am Beth. Beth is Bill. Bill is Craig. We are all in this together. There is no separation between us. And so any teacher who is willing to thwart a student's emerging power is only hurting themselves. So the more power I can give you, the more power I give to myself, because you and I are the same thing. So this is why I say, when you are meeting a teacher in whom you feel resistance, your job is not to fight them. Your job is not to avoid them. Your job is not to try to run away from them or fear them. Your job is to bless them. Your job is to forgive them. Your job is to release them. And then notice what happens through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. One of the things I've discovered, though, is resisting resistance increases more resistance, and
that's
my body
right.
gets more rigid, and like literally jaws clamped shut,
yep.
neck so I barely
yep.
turn my head.
Yep.
I mean, unbelievable pain with that. And then once I came upon those two understanding, experiencing the magnitude of those two erroneous beliefs yesterday, all of that locking in the body
yep.
and jaws
yep.
going through for it was like 90-odd% of it dissipated.
Yep. Yes. Yes. You can't resist resistance. This is why I'm saying it's futile. This is why Jesus in the Bible says, resist not evil. Nowhere does he say anywhere in the mystical text, resist evil, fight evil, argue with your enemy, battle your enemy. He says, forgive your enemy. And the enemy is within us. It's our consciousness. And so if you're resisting resistance, you're right. You're going to burn out big time. So the idea is, and start to ask the question. And you don't need to challenge these beliefs head on right away. Just start to softly challenge them. You go, okay, these beliefs have shown up for me again. What if, this is why in the module, I asked to ask the question, what if they weren't true? What if? What if? I don't need to break them apart in one fell swoop right now, but let me examine them. What if that weren't true? All right. Let's just be with that question for today now. In that moment when you say, what if that weren't true, you are softening resistance. Right?
Mm.
You are softening resistance. What if? Well, maybe. Maybe I've made an error in judgment. What if that's not correct? All right. What would that feel like? What would that look like? And to have a conversation with that part of you that you can soften, right? So this is all about softening. And we soften a thing by unpeeling it through the what if. And then when we engage the what if, then we can dive into it. Like when I have questions about, you know, meeting big important people that I need in order to move my vision forward, like, what if I were their peer? What if Oprah Winfrey were sitting at a table? What if Oprah Winfrey were sitting at a table and I viewed myself as a peer to her, and I just sat down and had a conversation, not as somebody below her or beneath her, but somebody as equal to her? How would that conversation be different than, I'm so unworthy, and could you spare a moment? And right, vastly different. So when we start to ask those kind of questions, what if I met this situation differently? What would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
It opens, and that resistance, that constriction within your system, where you're not fighting against everything, your aperture starts to open and soften. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And from time to time, I've experienced that. There's one thing though, you know, I have created over my life really marvelous opportunities for my paintings and artwork and all of that. And over the last few years, as you know, it's pretty much been a stilted career. But more recently, I started to, you know, reach out to people again over the last few weeks, and new people, and I'm having, you know, articulate conversations and well-spoken on the phone with people that I don't know, or a former potential older client. But mm-hmm. then emails are required to be sent, and then all of a sudden, I just won't do them.
Mm-hmm.
So I create the opportunity, and then I sabotage it and don't move forward.
Yep.
And there
so
have been...
So your forgiveness exercise here is really easy. You go into your meditation and you say, whatever obstacle within me is causing me to procrastinate, I forgive it. Whatever this is in me, I hand it over. Whatever the thing in me that is causing me to avoid an opportunity or to shut that door in success, whatever it is, I forgive it. I give it forward, and I ask that it be redeemed. And that's it. That's all you need to do. And that becomes the meditation. So because we can't overcome those energies. Intellectually, we can't intellectualize ourselves out of that, because, you know, intellectually, you'd be well served to send an email, you know,
yeah.
Right. Intellectually that this is the correct approach, but this patterning isn't rational. It's not intellectual. It's unconscious, and it's rooted in programming. And so you understand the nature of what needs to happen. So what you're doing is, right now in this moment, you're recognizing a pattern. You go, aha, I see what happens here. I get an opportunity and then I sabotage it. Okay, that's the pattern I want to forgive. And then you go into your forgiveness. And you say, whatever this pattern is within me that causes me to sabotage, whatever the origin is of it, I hand it over. I forgive it. I release it. I wipe it clean. And then it may happen instantly. You may wake up the next morning and sit down and be like, "Ooh, man, I have this overwhelming desire to send emails to everybody I know." It might happen that quickly, right? So that's so when you guys, this is really, really, really important. When you recognize a pattern in your 3D world and you catch it and you go, "Aha, there it is. Okay, I need to release this. I don't need to know where it came from, who started it, what lifetime it came from, what level of trauma it's from. I don't care. I just recognize the pattern and I need to forgive it." And so start there. Guys, don't intellectualize about this. This is not something we can rationalize. It's at a far different level of energy. So go into the quantum, do the meditation, release it, forgive it, hand it over, and then notice what you notice in the moments and days following. That's what I would suggest. Where you are, Christina, is at the verge of a major breakthrough. This is like if you've ever heard me talk about the mystical Chuck Yeager, where he was getting ready to break through the sound barrier. He was a pilot in the 1950s. Six or seven pilots who were trying to break the sound barrier before he did, they all died. Their planes blew up. Because right at the moment of breaking the sound barrier, which is 751 miles per hour, all of their aircrafts would start to violently vibrate and shake, and all the instrumentation would start to fail, and it felt like the jets were going to blow apart. And so those pilots would pull back. They would pull back on the throttle. And in that moment where they pulled back, the planes would explode. Chuck Yeager said, "I'm not going to do it that way." He got to the same moment of breakthrough, and his plane did the same thing everybody else's plane did, violently breaking apart, instrumentation failed, and he said, "I got to do something different here. I got to push through. I got to forgive this resistance. I've got to move through it. I've got to release all of this turbulence." And he did. And so he pushed the throttle. He broke through the sound barrier. When he got through the sound barrier, he thought he had died because everything was so quiet. He's like, The plane burst through the resistance and it was smooth sailing. He's like, "Holy shit." So that's where you are. And you've been at this threshold for fucking years. It's time to move through it. But what you have to recognize is this resistance that's scaring you is the sign of a threshold. And we have to, it's that quantum boundary, right? One side of reality, the other side of the reality. And these are the tools to move through it, okay? So anybody who is experiencing resistance in this way that generates fear around the resistance or gets tight around the resistance or collapses around the resistance or falls into the idea that I'm a victim in this resistance or notices the resistance and says somebody's attacking me from the outside, that has to change. So just like Chuck Yeager moving through the resistance to get to the other side, if you keep pulling back, your plane is going to explode. And that's what it's been doing. But if you have the tools to move through it, you navigate the resistance, you navigate the fear, you navigate the turbulence, and you move through it, then you'll pop through the other side and it'll be like, "Oh, you mean this has been here the whole fucking time? Oh my gosh." So that's where I want you to go. I will get the PDFs up for you right away. Are you able to download the meditation or do you need me to send that to you directly?
No, I can download that.
Okay. All right. I'll get the PDFs up for you right away. I apologize for that.
Oh, no apologies. I'm so grateful for you, Simone, and your work. And my body just in our conversation started to calm down again. You know, I didn't put on any crystals or, you
Good.
Know, any
Good.
Doodah stuff.
Awesome.
It was like, let's just do this.
Let's just do it. Yes. Great. Thank you, Christina. That's awesome. This is great work. So
thank
just-
you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll see you next week on the call. Thanks for calling in. So you see, guys, that when we move across the quantum, it generates resistance. If we're not paying attention, it will generate resistance. It will generate resistance. So that's where I'm wanting you to go with this. And then this is going to be the last question for today. Beth says, is there a difference between wholeness, i.e. seeing the proof of a tarot card showing up or hearing a song with a specific lyric, which aligns with your feeling and validation? Wholeness, validation, and alignment, all synonymous. Thanks again. Yes. Yes. It's all synonymous. I'll give you guys an example. Last week, I had a very, very, very important opportunity, again, with my NASA show. I had been invited to a big Christmas event with all of the rich, fancy people here in Pasadena from a very prominent real estate investor here in town. I didn't know anybody. I'd been invited. I didn't know anybody. And my prayer was, before I went in there, it was about 400 people were going to be there. My prayer was, put me in front of the person who will most benefit my vision. Put me in front of the person who will most benefit my mission. And I went to the party. I walked in completely by myself, only knew the host, but he was talking to a bunch of other people. And I went into the room having used that prayer, you know, a couple of hours earlier. Long story short, I ended up meeting the mayor and his wife, and they invited me to sit down at their table and have lunch with them. And it was just serendipity. I happened to be walking by a table and I saw a man who was my childhood idol. I was a competitive swimmer as a youngster, and his name was John Neighbor, and he won 5 Olympic gold medals and 1 silver medal in the 1976 Olympics. And he was always my favorite over Mark Spitz. And there he was sitting at a table like, oh my gosh, that's John Neighbor. And I thought, oh no, don't fangirl. Just keep walking. My intuition just said, no, introduce yourself. So I stopped and he was talking to a woman and I said, I'm sorry to interrupt. Please forgive me. And I said, John, my name is Simone Wright and I was a huge fan and am a huge fan. I was a competitive swimmer, blah, blah, blah. I just, you know, you were my favorite over Mark Spitz. And he said, oh, well, that's really amazing. Thank you for introducing yourself. And he said, why are you here? I said, I'm doing this big art show with NASA in April. And he said, oh, well, let me introduce you to Maria. Maria Tornek, this is Simone. And Maria is the mayor's wife. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And she says, well, why are you here? And I told her about the Art of the Cosmos show and what we're building and la, la, la. She goes, oh, my God, my husband would absolutely love that. You have to meet him. And she goes, Terry, come over here. And she goes, Simone, this is my husband, Terry. And Terry, and John goes, Terry is the mayor. And I'm like, oh, Mr. Mayor, nice to meet you. And he goes, well, what are you here? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, the prayer was put me in front of the most beneficial person for my event. And in this room full of 400 people, of whom I knew no one, I had lunch with the mayor, who now, you know, is wanting to help with the show. That is a validation and a proof of wholeness and alignment, right? So, yes, that's how it works. And Beth goes on to say, I asked for my angels to surround me yesterday while I was having a root canal, and minutes later, a mass for a prominent person in our community aired on the TV. I asked, they answered, yes, you ask from the quantum with full expectation that you will be answered, and you will be answered, right? Whether you're sitting at a root canal, getting a root canal, or you need in a room full of 400 people to meet the most important person who can serve you, it happens. It works. Instant manifestation, instant miracle. There's no way in heck I could have strategized that opportunity for a meeting with the mayor. In fact, I had been trying to meet the mayor for over a year, going, you know, emailing, asking who knows who, and can you put me in touch? And it didn't work. It was only when I went quantum that it showed up less than 2 hours later. So this is the work we're doing, guys. And so this is the importance of this work and why it's so essential. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this call, and I will be sure to post the PDF so that you have the slide files. And I'll do that. I've got to dash out, so I'll do that later today. Okay. So with that, you guys have an awesome weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you so much for being with me on the call. I hope these answers answered your question, and look for me to post module 2 next Wednesday. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend. Bye.